and welcome into the show. Woo! It is an awesome day. I don't know if anyone of you saw the eclipse, the beautiful charade of modern nature. What a bless you of today, wherever you are. It's Dr. Ev on the mic this evening, along with my pilot. Well, I'm the co-pilot, along with my pilot. Shalom. Shalom. How are you, my queen sister?
Aloha, aloha. Thank you, thank you. Yes, and welcome everyone in the worldwide ethers. Excited for the show tonight. We have amazing guests that I had the honor to meet just a short while ago while I'm here in Hawaii. And I do want to excuse if there's some background noise. I'm here out on the beach today in beautiful Maui, which is where I met our guest speaker this evening at my clinic where I work. I'm currently serving as a first responder on Maui during the aftermath of the most deadliest fires in the history of our country. And we've opened up a grassroots clinic where all the refugees are housed 100% in this location of one of the beautiful hotels here on Maui. And we offer basic services, first aid, mental health. We also do acupuncture and all kinds of healing modalities there. And I was blessed to meet this beautiful woman, Sherry, who's a hairstylist coming from San Jose, California. Came to visit her beautiful longtime friend and wanted to offer some services to some of the refugees. And that's when she contacted our clinic and asked if she could help out by offering free hairstyles, free haircuts to all of these refugees that we've been caring for. And it's been just a wonderful, positive, amazing experience for every person that she got to interact with. And her story was so compelling. I really wanted to get her on the show and have her share and inspire us with the experience that she had coming here and just being a part of everything that's happening. So Sherry, welcome.
Hello, shalom. Hello, ladies. Happy Sunday evening. So happy to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us. And I know we're 3 hours behind you, so I appreciate your time. I know it's getting up in the later evening time in San Jose, California. But thank you so much for being here with us.
My pleasure. Shalom.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, yeah, we would love to hear maybe you introduce yourself and let us know a little bit of your background and how you came about to coming to Maui and meeting us.
Okay. Well, I am originally from Texas, born and raised in Dallas, raised by my grandparents. And when I was 15, my grandmother passed away and I became the lady of the house. And I got my hardship driver's license and started, let me back up just a little bit. Even as a little girl, I was fascinated with hair. And I stayed in trouble my whole childhood because I would borrow my grandmother's sewing scissors and take the kids in the garage and cut their hair. So once I got my driver's license and the world opened up a little bit, I was out and about. All the discos had just opened and we had gone from roller sets to wash and wear hair, and I would go sneak in with my fake ID because I was too young to be there and, you know, try to get clients and stuff. So, I mean, I graduated from high school and beauty school in the same week in 1973, and I have been hairdressing 50 weeks a year, 50 hours a week ever since until the COVID shutdown, which was the first time, you know, someone told me I couldn't do my thing and I was grounded. And that's kind of where things started changing. It was the first time I ever had time to sit and really think about things and have a more balanced day and reconnect with people. My friend that you mentioned, Jeannie, that lives in Lahaina, I hadn't seen her or talked to her in 35 years, but when the day the fires started, I was just suddenly desperate to see her. And it took me 2 weeks to find out that she was okay. And the way I found her was through a friend of hers. Anyone that she had responded to on Facebook, I reached out to them, and someone finally got a message to her and asked her if she knew me. And she said, yes, I haven't seen her for 40 years, but yes, I know Sherry Bennett. So we reconnected, and once I knew she was okay, my next thing was, what can I do? How can I help? I mean, as a tourist coming to the Hawaiian Islands, in particular to Maui and Lahaina, Lahaina being one of the most special places on earth for so many of us, and being shared with tourists, I knew when those fires happened that I just couldn't get there soon enough to find ways to help. So about 6 months after the fires, you know, we knew haircuts weren't really on the forefront of anyone's minds in the beginning. And so when the time was right, I came. And when I got there, my friend, before that, she had gone to all the big hotels up and down Kaanapali, and they were super excited to have me cut hair there. And the last couple of days before I got there, they changed their mind. They said they weren't doing that anymore. So when Jeannie picked me up at the airport, she was very down. And I assured her that it was okay. We would end up exactly where we were supposed to be. So the next day we went out to her neighborhood, which is Hona Kauai, and started talking to people, neighbors, friends, anyone. And we ran into this wonderful man named Paul Peterson, a friend of Shalom's. And I told him my story that, you know, I had just flown in from San Jose, and I was only there to serve the wildfire survivors, and just needed a place to work, and could he help me? And he gave me Shalom's phone number, and that's how it all happened.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, such synchronicities, you know, and just really grateful for, you know, so many amazing people that I've gotten to work side by side with and volunteer. And Paul's been one of them. He runs what we call the Keiki Corner, which is a children's corner that was much needed during the wake of the fires. A lot of grassroots hubs opened up where they were offering mutual aid because, you know, the government aid had not arrived yet. And there was a huge need, obviously, for food and clothing and first aid and something for the children to do. And so that's when Keiki Corner was born, and, you know, Paul became a part of that. And it's still going strong today. And, he's been a blessing here in our community. And, you know, as you said, he's gotten to connect us together. And that's where the magic continued, huh, Sherry?
Absolutely. And actually, I talked to Paul today, and he has some really good news. He's in the process of acquiring a facility for an art center in Lahaina Town. And there's going to be an auction hosted at the Whalers Village, and their goal is $250,000 to get into the building. So any way we can support him, I know, would be much appreciated and beneficial to the community as well.
Absolutely. And he has an organization. Would you like to share the name of his organization?
It is called Arts Centered, and he can be reached at www.artscentered.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And yeah, this is all surrounding for the children and art and education, which I was recently told, you know, a lot of the major art centers and art galleries burnt down in the line of fire. So there is a need for the rebuild for that sector, you know, that we had lost here. So Paul's doing an amazing job. So anyone interested in supporting his cause, please go check out his website, and you'll get to see all the different events they've done. I believe they're also on Instagram with the same name, Art Centered, and they were part of the Honokauai Relief Hub. All right. Good job, Paul. That's wonderful news.
Yes. So back to you, Shalom, and getting to meet you. I can't tell you, I don't even feel like the same woman who came to Maui. And I'm going to try to get through this without crying for the first time ever. I mean, I cried every single day that I was there. I just felt from the minute I pled my case to Paul, and I could tell that he was skeptical. I guess, you know, there are a lot of people that have come there maybe with ill intentions or something other than what I had. And I pled my case, and I told him my clients had also asked me to locate a family that we could really get behind and help as someone that had fallen through the cracks, which he also gave me a young woman's name, single mother. And my clients and I have been able to help her get settled in her new home and get everything she needed for her baby. And that's thanks to his good work. So anyway, I left him my card and I said, please just, I need a place to work. Think about these things. And a little while later, he gave me a call, and it was one of the sweetest conversations I've ever had. And he said to me that Aloha is not just a Hawaiian thing, and that I had it, and that he was happy to help me and thanked me for my service and for being there. So I reached out to you, and before long, I showed up. I had never done anything like that before, and I know you had to guide me a bit that first day, but I will tell you, the people that I met at the Royal Lahaina, I didn't realize the entire hotel was displaced residents. And they just touched me. They were skeptical also at first. They would ask me, why? You spend your own money and you come here to help us? Why? And then I just told them, you know, I've been coming to these islands for 30 years, and it's time for me to give back. And I couldn't build them a house. I know how to cut hair. That's what I know how to do. And, you know, I watch in my salon every day, haircuts transform people. I mean, it's a good haircut. It can just really lift a weight off of your shoulders. It can be a morale booster. It transforms people. And I thought, well, maybe the time now, a good haircut will help them just to get a little bit of lightness and be able to think a little bit better about how to proceed and how to take care of their families or whatever, anything, just lift people up. And I'll never forget one person that I cut at Maui Medic Salon. They made me feel so special, and they were really grateful, and they told me harrowing stories. And to me, it's just a miracle that anyone survived that wildfire with the human mistakes and Mother Nature's wrath. And but the thing that I noticed too were the people that I cut their hair, the ones that really lost everything, they seem to have the best attitude and so resilient. I mean, I just have never had an experience like that. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow morning, one of the seeds that have come from this when I got home from Maui, my colleague asked me, she said she was inspired by my trip and did I want to start cutting hair locally. So tomorrow morning we've recruited her and I plus three other hairstylists from another salon, and we're cutting hair at a shelter here in San Jose all day tomorrow, our first time. So I'm super excited to see where this is going to lead. We found out there's actually 8 shelters here and hundreds of people living there, and no hairdresser has ever offered these services to them either, which just blows me away.
Wow. How amazing. How amazing is that, though? That's, you're on to something, you know, definitely. And, yeah, it's just wonderful to hear the stories, you know, of the transformation in people. I mean, given that you've been doing this for so long, you've witnessed so many transformations, haven't you? Just with getting a new hairstyle. Yeah, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. So now, you know, that, you know, what was one of the most significant things you would like to share about the experience of, you know, serving here and cutting hair in Maui here?
I will say that it was, I mean, it just sounds terrible to say it now because you're right. I have been doing this a long time, and I do help people all day, every day at work. It's what I live for. But I've never, I mean, I love to cook, and I'm a very good cook, and I go to the soup kitchens, and I do time in the kitchens and serve and stuff like that. And it was actually my friend Jeannie, you know, when I was asking, what can I do? And she said, you should come and work your hair magic. So it had never dawned on me, but it was the first vacation I've ever taken that had nothing to do with me whatsoever. I wasn't there to go enjoy fruity drinks on the beach or go diving or any of that stuff. I was, all I wanted to do was just be there. I'd be there right this minute if I didn't have a business to run here. So the fact that I got more, I told Jeannie on the way to the airport, I feel like I have a treasure chest inside of me now. And inside that treasure chest are all these gold nuggets. And in those nuggets are the words that the people said to me when I cut their hair at Maui Medic. And they mean more to me than any worldly possession that I have. I will treasure them always. And I actually, one of my clients is a writer. She travels around the world and teaches creative writing. And she said, you're going to write this story and I'm going to edit it and we're going to publish it in all your trade magazines. And we're going to inspire hairdressers around the world to do this, which is what I'm doing with a call to action. So if any hairdressers in Maui or even in the islands, are listening to this program and you could contact Shalom and go and cut hair for her even one day a month, whatever you would have to offer, I promise it would be the greatest experience of your life. These people are amazing. They're resilient. They're grateful. They're beautiful. And the whole experience inside Maui Medic that way, the volunteers that I met, the acupuncturists, the nurses, people making, my friend makes jewelry. She makes turtle earrings and she brings them over there because people lost their jewelry. They lost everything. And it's filled me up like nothing. I've been home for 2 months and it's still all I talk about, think about. I'm just there in spirit with you. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, such amazing transformations, you know. And, yeah, it's, I guess you could say, you know, really, you know, serving, just giving and serving, being a volunteer, you know, from my experience has always been the most rewarding, you know. And it's just like you stated, like there's these nuggets that you receive that are really priceless because, you know, it makes one step out of ourselves into imagining what they've gone through. And when you look at from that perspective, you know, there's so much gratitude that we acquire just from realizing, gosh, you know, maybe it's not as bad as all when all these other things are happening, right, everywhere else. And then to give and see the gratitude come back to you by just volunteering and offering whatever services you have. And I'm sure, you know, we could do a call to action to any tourists that are hairstylists that are coming to Maui. You know, come find me, Shalom, at Maui Medics Healers Hui, you know, and I'll set you up with a little spot you can cut hair and share.
It's
there
a
as
beautiful
well.
Little spot. I can testify right now to that.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting and organic how that happened, because you needed a place and we needed to make sure the hair was contained because we're a clinic, and you need to be indoors somewhere because, you know, the wind, right? And
exactly.
So we found this perfect little spot in the back door.
It was so cute. You know, one of the things that haunts me, Shalom, on the last day I was there, these two ladies that worked at the hotel, they pulled up, and I had that sliding door open about a foot and a half just for ventilation. And I was cutting hair. I was cutting this little boy, and he was mm-hmm. actually my toughest client that I cut. He wanted a very fancy hairdo that I don't even know how to cut. It was very barbering skills. But and I was concentrating, and I hear this woman, excuse me. She goes, I need a haircut. How much? And I said, zero, but you just got to go around front. I mean, that whole thing with that sign-up sheet, it would go out in the morning, and it would be full in 5 minutes. And
yes.
After the first day, the people that I cut would then go and bring a friend when they would see Sherry's haircut. I'm telling you, if you can go and give Shalom some time and cut hair there, you won't regret it. It's amazing. And even if you can't do that and you are a tourist or you're going to Maui, I also learned another opportunity that's there is at the Maui Humane Society. The dogs of the refugees are there, and you can go and you have a little training, and then you can check the dogs out. You can take them to the beach. You can take them for a walk, and you can make a dog very happy one day to get outside. So there are opportunities absolutely everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, that was the most touching part of this whole trip was, you know, seeing how all the community came together, because there was no government here yet funding and supplies. And so, you know, there was a lot of people that were hurting and in need. And so there were boats coming from the other islands that were just pulling right up into the beaches and unloading supplies. And through that created these, you know, what we call these hubs, where you could get, you know, everything you basically needed for free. It was all donated. The Maui Food Bank opened up their doors and started distributing food to all these hubs. A lot of local organizations as well started, you know, using their commercial trucks to bring us ice and, you know, you name it, like just about everything you could think of was coming, you know, through the gates here at the parks. And, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, what I found was a lot of the volunteers who were running the hubs were actually fire refugees. And they were finding healing, actually, because they just gone through this devastation. They had no place to go. They needed some place to plug in and keep themselves busy. And as they did that and, you know, were taking care of each other, they found this healing within that work, you know. And so it was just a really profound effect that it caused on this small little island that rippled out into, like, you know, every aspect that you can think of in the islands. And I think the most challenging part that we have is the turnover of visitors that come on a daily basis. Because if they have not done their homework or don't understand what recently happened, how small this island is, the culture here, then they kind of walk in to the west side kind of like confused, some of them look, because they can feel the energy. There's something off about the energy, but they don't quite understand the devastation of the fires. I mean, there's tourists that are coming here today that have no idea, haven't even heard about the fires, and are shocked. Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. Or some will, you know, they'll respond, oh, is that still happening? Is that still going on? You know, and it's just like, it's always an opportunity to enlighten and share with people that don't know. You know, and at the same time, there's so many people that have been in it from day one that are on the verge of burnt out because they have to continuously, you know, keep, you know, not just defending, but, you know, proclaiming what is going on here, you know, and as well as continuing to work and take care of their families, you know, and to make sure that they have enough income coming in to support, you know, themselves and their families. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot of areas that you can volunteer and or give back. And, you know, definitely, you know, from the perspective we have here, you know, if you look at history, you know, the tourism is not the answer, and it has not been the answer. But because it has become so reliant on it, it's almost forced to need the tourism to survive. And this is where Lahaina is saying we have an opportunity with a clean slate to try something different. Instead of catering to what the tourists want and these big theme parks and whatnot, how about we reconnect with culture and have more cultural centers or educational centers where the tourists can come and, you know, learn hula or learn basket weaving or, you know, all these different things that are kind of lost art it's become because we've become so heavily reliant on tourism. So that's the exciting part for me that's happening here and why I've dedicated myself to Maui Medics Healers Hui for the long haul, because this is going to be a long haul. And, you know, we're in the middle of it right now, given that the cleanup is still happening. You know, there's still a lot of the debris on the ground and being, you know, washed into the ocean when it rains. And so scientists who are monitoring the ocean and the ground are saying that no one should be eating any fruit from the trees or anything from the ocean here for at least the next 2 years. And, you know, that's going to take some time for nature, you know, to cleanse itself. So, yeah, getting back to you, Sherry.
Oh, no. You know, this is exactly what I think the world needs to hear, Salome, because, you know, I mean, honestly, when Jeannie brought me from the airport, you know, you're going through that picturesque right through the West Maui mountains before you drop down. And even before we got to the fire zone, I started seeing like charred trees and cars and things. And then that memorial, I just felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I was so moved by it. But the thing is, if you didn't educate, I read everything I possibly could get my hands on before I came there. The last thing I wanted to do was come and, you know, say something that was hurtful or offensive. But if you didn't, even when you got to the bypass and then you go down through that area where it's, I mean, the fire zone is right there next to the highway. But if you didn't look left or right and you just were in your rental car speeding to your hotel, you know, with the only vacation on your mind, I could see how they You know, if they weren't, if they're not aware of their surroundings and weren't paying attention and hadn't heard this stuff. We hear nothing on the news anymore about the wildfires in Lahaina. It was shocking to me because of our connection. Almost every client that sits in my chair, I mean, every day some client has just come home from Hawaii. So it's a conveyor belt, you know, between my house and yours. So I make sure they know what's going on, but I can see how people come there and they don't understand. But Jeannie did send me what you were talking about before any real help was there, and it was just grassroots community. She sent me this amazing picture, and it was just the true spirit of Aloha in full display. It was all the local residents had formed a human food chain on the beach and were unloading supplies from jet skis and small boats. And I would give anything if we could get back to how Lahaina, what I read about and what you talked about on your amazing podcast last week, about how Lahaina was when it was lush and, you know, before the drought and before the water that was dammed up and all the building and everything. You do have an opportunity, and I would love to help in any way I can with that. So please let me know. Whatever I can do, I'll do it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And I believe you're doing it, you know, and, you know, also with Dr. Ev, meeting her has been an amazing synchronistic, potential for us to come together in this way and, you know, broadcast out there and be able to share it with others to listen to later and understand the depth of the experiences that are happening and, you know, what we need to do next. And yeah, it's going to be, you know, a lot of, like, you know, we need to be in the ditches and working and, you know, really focusing on where we are, you know, and I believe this is for everywhere in the world, you know, with all the destruction that's happening. It's hard to, it's also easy to see how Lahaina can be forgotten because of all of the events that are happening everywhere, right? And so we, you know, I feel like it's important for all of us to, where we are, you know, do what we can to help our little microorganism, our little community that will span out into the next communities, you know, until it can, you know, encompass our whole world. And, you know, I feel it's happening. You know, it definitely is, like, you know, that's what made me want to have you, you know, on the show and talk, because, you know, you're a perfect example of the type of tourism that we need. And so, you know, whether it's you coming visiting Hawaii or Africa, you know, anywhere in the world, you know, tourism should be this way, right? And we should, like, really have more of a cultural immersion when we visit places, not, you know, fancy hotels that's all over the world. We can get that anywhere, right? But how about the culture, the place that you're going to, you know, the reason why, you know, it is the way it is, or the, you know, the beauty of the area, I think is more enriching for visitors than it is to just go and get a fancy drink, you know, on a tropical island.
Yes, and if we look at it like when a friend comes to our house, right, they have a certain amount of respect for our things. But if it was just some guest blowing through that didn't know me or whatever, they might, you know, trash out the place. So if we have a little different attitude when we go places, with as crazy as the world is right now, this does counter being kind, helping other people that are less fortunate, and then that just grows and spreads. And I learned so much of that from you when I was there at Maui Medic, and from Paul and my friend Jeannie. She lives for service. That woman is always finding someone to help every day of her life, and always has. So
yes.
It's We need it in the forefront of our minds now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, really, I wish there was like some kind of universal kind of like program that we could offer, you know, especially specifically here for Hawaii, that shared with the tourism that was coming here, you know, as and serve as a bridge of understanding about, you know, it's not the fact that we don't like tourists. It's the fact that they come here and not, you know, it get in sync with the aloha spirit that is here. Because unless we all are able to give and take that aloha spirit, we're going to deplete it. And even the locals won't have any left because it's not a shared value, right? And that's what it is. It's the spirit. Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. Right?
Exactly. So, yeah, and that's, I think, you know, one of the wonderful blessings that we have to be able to share with whoever we come across, right, that experience and what that entails. I mean, especially in your position, having people coming in your place of business and sitting in your chairs and having the opportunity to talk with them about your definition of aloha spirit, you know, and our founder of Maui Medics Healers, Hui No'ilani, she, you know, put it just really nicely in regards to, you know, it's not that we don't like tourists, it's that, you know, if you're coming here to give, right, give that aloha and thus be able to receive it, then we want you here. It doesn't matter what color of your skin is. But if you're coming here to just take, like, you know, you're saying, like, leaving the rooms a mess and, like, just, you know, just being rude and things like that, like, you know, taking energy from that aloha, then we don't want you here, you know. And that's the message I really wish a lot of tourists could, you know, understand before they arrive here, right? And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of them that do, you know, they do their best, but also at the same time, they know that they're visitors and that there is, you know, a negative energy towards them because they are visitors, right? And so it's easy, right, to go down that path. So I take the opportunity wherever I go, I show aloha, I smile. You know, I'm a brown-skinned woman, and so, you know, they can tell I'm not a tourist here. And, you know, we can do our part in trying to build that bridge, right? But definitely, you know, again, like, stories like yours, I feel like it's so important, you know, to be heard, you know, and shared, and, you know, also the inspiration, right? And I'd love for you to talk more about that. I'd love for you to talk more about, you know, how that inspiration came about, or in depth more of, like, you know, how did that propel you into, you know, navigating, you know, this wonderful service now you're offering to your local shelters.
You know, I'm telling you, the day that the wildfires broke out and I start thinking about my dear friend, there were circumstances back in the day that kind of took me away from these precious people. And, you know, I wasn't, I had to sign this paper. I wasn't allowed to really tell them anything. And in 2022, we lost one of them, and he was the youngest of our crowd, and he was laughing. He was a very jolly man, and he was laughing really hard. He had a heart attack and died right there. So I had been locked in the house for 3 years. Pretty much, you know, where's the COVID and just staying home and taking care of myself. And I said, that's it. I'm going on a hugcation. So that, it kind of started. I went around the country for 3 weeks and to people I hadn't seen in a long time and gave them a hug. So when the fires happened, I already didn't get to see my friend before he died. And then I knew Jeannie was there, and I just was crazy desperate to find her first. And then, you know, she sent me a picture. The first picture she sent me was the flames very close to her house before they switched directions and spared her. And then how she had gone out on a fact-finding mission to see what people needed. Then she sends me that picture of everyone in this human chain down on the beach. And all I wanted to do, Shalom, was just be there to help. Hawaii is the only place I've ever been in the world where when I come home, that slower pace, that peace inside, it just stays with me. It's been 2 months and it's still with me right now. Where anywhere else I go on vacation, you know, 2 or 3 days back to work, and you're just like you were before you went on vacation. But every single time I've ever come to those islands, I just go out and I find the most sacred spot, and I can feel, I can hear the voices, I can feel it in the trade winds. It is the most magical place in the world to me. So when this happened, I couldn't get there fast enough, and I would do anything I could to help. And the people that I met when I was there, and, you know, they really made it real with their most specific stories of how things went wrong that day and how it's amazing that they escaped. The only reason a lot of people knew that their house was on fire was because the neighbor came and told them. And I know that it's a lot easier to think about volunteering in a gorgeous tropical place. It's like sexier if you go away somewhere and do it. And that locally, you know, if everyone just kind of volunteered in their own neighborhood, how great things would be. But I had a calling inside of me to get to that island as fast as I could and just do whatever I could do. And, you know, Jeannie convinced me that it was the work my hair magic, which I feel like did happen out there on that little area where I was cutting hair. I do think the magic did happen, and I wish I could be there every day. I'll never forget any of the people that I met there. And what I've realized from having this treasure chest inside of me with these gold nuggets, with these things that mean everything to me, I want more. I just want more of that. And the more I concentrate on, it's not even me making something happen. It's happening very organically. It's just my neighbor came over. She said, hey, do you want to do this? And now we're doing this starting tomorrow. My client said, and you're going to write this story and we're going to get hairdressers. It's organically just perpetuating itself. And it helps when I turn off the news and I concentrate on these things. How can I help people? When you were here recently and I got to see you even for 20 minutes, those 20 minutes were everything to me. I mean, something happened to me while I was in Hawaii, and I don't think I'll ever be the same woman I was that went there. And I like this chapter of my life. You know, I'm past retirement age and, you know, should be thinking about that, but I'm not thinking about it. All I want to do is just keep hairdressing and keep my body in shape so that I can keep coming there and anywhere else that I can possibly help, because it does counter all the madness going on in the world. And I highly recommend it to anyone to get outside of yourself and go and find someone, you know, less fortunate and help them in some way that you can. And it just fills you up like nothing else. And I'm addicted now.
Cheryl, I'm listening to you here, and I almost try not to say anything because I want to grasp every word that you're saying along with the vibration and the energy. And what I'm hearing and what I'm learning from your conversation is the domino effect, the power of the domino effect of help and the symbiotic relationship of healing. When we sometimes think that we are just doing for, how much more are we getting from this? So much so that you have, let me use this word, infected your nest from what you have picked up I like to use that because that is so strong. So you have started this whole new chapter. Well, I wouldn't say it's new because a giver is always a giver, and that I sense from you. I know we have just about 10 minutes, but talk about maybe other than, I know you're focusing on what you are giving, but tell me, I mean, on a deeper level, what healing have you gotten from this?
Mm-hmm. Before I went to Hawaii, you know, my body is, when you've been hairdressing, like you're 30 years old for 50 plus years, you know, it starts to get tired, things start to happen. But now that my focus is on something so much bigger than myself, I don't give it any energy. And I feel like I was reborn there. I feel like, I have new cells in my body everywhere. And I've walked like people come in that I've been cutting their hair for 30 years. And they're just like, wow, Sherry, what is going on? I mean, I feel like I'm levitating, you know, when I'm cutting their hair. I can't believe how high and how happy I am. And how satisfying it was to be there in the Maui Medic, that particular place. You know, we went to several places and we got rejection. We went, you know, to different things. And I just kept telling Jeannie, we're going to end up exactly where we're supposed to be. And I know that that's what happened. And it just feels like divine intervention. The day that we met Paul, Jeannie was driving. She has this truck. She calls her Ariel. It's this bright blue four-wheel drive we tooled around in. And she pulled over to the side of the road after we met Paul. And she said, do you realize what just happened? We just met because she wanted to take me to her church. Her church burned down and they meet somewhere, and she really wanted me to meet her congregation in the morning. But she had asked me what time it was when I joined her on the lanai, and I was on California time. So I told her 3 hours later. So we thought we missed our opportunity, right? So we just got ready and we started going grassroots to find a place for me to work. And after we met Paul, and then we went Paul and John, and then we went to the fish market and we got some poke fresh from the sea, which I guess Shalom isn't such a good idea. You're saying I shouldn't have eaten that fish, but it was the best poke ever. And the guy who served it was named Abraham. So Jeannie pulls over on the side of the road. She said, do you realize what just happened? You know, we met a guy named Paul, John, and Abraham. If that's not the universal church, I don't know what is. And that's exactly how it felt like divine intervention. When you find yourself in the exact right place in the world at the exact right time with the exact right people. And honestly, I feel like I could just die a happy woman right now. I'm so satisfied and satiated from my experience there. And
you know, I always think that one of the greatest psychologists and the greatest healing, so-called, happens over the crown. And those people, which is the crown of the head, because I remember as a little girl, growing up, and I always thought of hairdressing as such a healing thing. Because of our hair, we plait our hair, and not with the curling stuff, because a lot of us couldn't afford curling stuff. But you would braid your hair, or we say plait. And in the midst of that woman, that sister would, that mother would, that auntie, she has a problem at home. She said, girl, and she turned your head and look at you, and she said, do this or don't meet this person, or say, just pray. Or that is when the sisterhood and the connection, and you talk, I'm listening to you talk about those folks that came to you. I don't think that you could have given a better present than to be over the crown and blessing them with your speech and giving them the transformation. Say, hey, this hairstyle from 8-8, that's out of it now. This is a new you. You're going to get that person, get him out of your chair and look in that mirror. Oh, my God. And they can't even believe who they are. So I am blessing you. I know those people you're going into the neighborhood that most needed, and the compassion and the energy that you bring in and in your hands and your finger and transmit it to the combs and the style. And I know some of those ear style, especially for the young ones, whatever they are, maybe not yours, but you know, you have enough power within you to transform them into even probably a better look than they were expecting. Yeah. I want to big up all the folks that came to make this circle complete, or we now have to expand the circle. Now we have to expand it, and I want to express my gratitude to my dear Queen Sisters, for all that we've done. And we have to realize in life we are here to do one, two things. I'm not going to tell you the other thing. But Sharon probably, when those girls see them in the office, says, Sharon, did you get a man last night, girl? That had to be.
Yes, that's exactly what they think.
Girl, Sharon, tell me about it.
No, I'm still flying from Hawaii.
Also, it is something that resonates that you cannot even control. And that is when you find your true purpose to serve, and when that service is reciprocated to you in the thank you, in the transformation right before your eye, new cells are born. You said it right. New cells are born, new energies are born, new ideas are born, new highways, not pathways, new highways have been created, and that is what you are going to be starting tomorrow. On the other chapter of the book. And please do come back again and tell us how that took place. And when those books come out from the experience, let us definitely partake of that. This is all what I call deliciousness. Just sitting and hear you, I'm salivating. And the sisterhood, the power of our hands, action with when the purity of our inner God soul can it come out and touch and heal? Oh my goodness. Let's
Dr.
go to church.
I'm so glad you're able to put words to it. I know how it feels, and you just described it beautifully.
Nice. Cheryl, and I've taken over back to my dear Queen Sister. We have about 2 minutes for you to wrap up and, you know, give us some information of how we can make some connect.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful sister. Yes. And thank you so much, Sherry. I mean, this is what I wanted to capture in our talk, you know, really that essence that you have been able to share and, you know, us here together, you know, and beautiful, you know, powerful queens that, you know, are here to really serve, you know, in a time that is most needed. And, you know, this is just to me, you know, I feel just the same as you do, you know, and I believe that when we truly follow that passion, that call, that whisper that's telling us that we need to go, you know, wherever it is that we need to take ourselves, we will be in line with that divine and that synchronicity so we can find each other, you know, and continue to carry on and grow and expand this amazing, like Dr. Ev said, you know, deliciousness, you know, together. And you know, I just want to thank you so much. Beautiful,
and
amazing.
Thank you, Kirsten. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be there with you. And I look forward to making many more memories together.
Absolutely. To be continued, hey?
Yes, continue.
Sir.
I like that.
Yes, or what we say here in What You Made is we hold. So we do it again. Much mahalo.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Mahalo.